our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you will go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I'd like to start off this morning having you think about a gift that you have received. It could be something as silly as my frog, or it could be something more profound. It could be a physical object, it could be an ability that you inherited from a family member, your parents perhaps. So take just a moment and think of that gift, whatever that gift is. Try to visualize it if you can. And think about who gave that gift to you. A friend, a family member. And answer this question for yourself. Why is it important to you? And is it a gift that you can give to somebody else? So think about all of those questions during the next few minutes. This text in Isaiah is about free gifts, and it's also about what will satisfy. Sometimes it would seem the best gifts that we've received are those gifts that truly do satisfy. And the best gifts that we can offer somebody else are gifts that will truly satisfy them. Looking for fulfillment and satisfaction is a basic human need. We'll think about that in a few minutes, how that can easily go astray. I think all of us probably love to receive gifts in one form or another. gifts that obviously are free, but have you ever heard of anything being given away for free? And the first question that came into your mind was, well, what's wrong with it? Right? That's the question I ask. If it's so good, why are they giving it away? The exiles in Babylon were looking for satisfaction. This text probably comes from the time that the exiles from Jerusalem were in Babylon. And so thinking about their covenant was very important. The covenant that God had made with David. And although by this point, most of them had not actually been to Jerusalem, they had been there long enough so that their parents were those who had been brought into captivity and had died. Nevertheless, they wanted to go home. They wanted to go home, even though they had, for the most part, seen home. And you can imagine that the temptation would be that once they got there, that they would just shut the gates and rebuild their community within and not let anybody in. The prophet has something to say about that. When you go back, he says, you're going to rebuild, but you're not just going to rebuild for yourselves. Instead, you are going to welcome others. And so the gift of returning home for them was not going to be a gift that they just kept to themselves. They would welcome all nations. Now, it's natural that people who have been uprooted and are looking to go back to home will want to recapture some of the past. That's just a natural inclination. I think any of us would. But what they learn is that looking back to the past is not going to bring them renewal. Instead, looking forward to the future and using the resources that they have to rebuilding and building their community. There's an image that is at the very beginning of this passage that is a marvelous one, and a couple people asked me about the meaning of the picture on the front of the bulletin this week with the hot dog vendor. Well, that's related to the scripture passage, because this is the image, I think, in an updated form that the prophet has in mind. Imagine a street, let's say in the streets of Hartford or New Haven or New York, where you have vendors calling out that they're selling hot dogs or pretzels or whatever it is that they're selling. And one of the vendors is giving them away for free. Well, then of course there's that question again, well, if they're giving it away for free, what's wrong with it, right? So keep this image in mind and imagine that it is God who is in the marketplace calling, saying, come and buy and eat, but you don't need money. You don't need the money. Just come and take and eat. This is a wonderful image of grace. Come and buy and eat, and you will be satisfied. Wonderful image of grace. Reminds me of the psalm, taste and see that the Lord is good. We live in a society where a search for fulfillment, for satisfaction, is just as much part of our society and as part of our human nature as at any other time. But we also find ourselves in a crisis, thinking of the opioid epidemic. The statistics now show that the largest cause of death, the greatest cause of death, people under the age of 50 is overdoses from opioids or narcotics. And interestingly enough, this is not the first time that our country has had a crisis as such. During the 19th century, there was an epidemic of opium addiction. Opium was legal at the time. It was used as sort of an all-purpose painkiller. Laudanum is a term that perhaps you might be familiar with, that it was used for just for all sorts of things, but obviously caused a great deal of trouble as well. So we're back at it again. I think it's one of those issues that is very complicated. There are a lot of factors. It's probably overprescribed. There's a plentiful supply, and it's easy to acquire without prescriptions. So, you have all those factors. People are treated with various drugs. I think Oxycontin is one of those drugs. Phenazol is another one that comes to mind, sometimes mixed with heroin, which can't even imagine, but that's what people do. And they become dependent, and it becomes a false source of satisfaction and fulfillment. But instead of being one that builds up and nurtures, it is one that tears down and destroys. It's important to think about this because there's a theological component to this particular crisis. Part of it deals with pain. I know that some of you deal with chronic pain of one sort or another, and you know what it is like to wake up in the morning, whether it's from a knee that you're waiting to have a knee replacement done, or your back, or whatever it may be. But pain is not just physical. Pain is also psychological. And I'm not saying it's in your head, but there's a psychological component to pain, which can bring about a sense of despair, of helplessness. And even after the need for a prescription is gone, that sense of pain can linger and can cause dependency. Can lead a person into addiction. And there's a strong connection between addiction and depression. You probably, most of you have heard the term self-medicating. A person abuses various substances because they want to get rid of the pain that's in their hands. This is a really big problem, and it's one that's going to take, I think, a lot of thought and study in many different angles. But what we can do is to be sure that we live true to what we are called to do. And the text today offers us a vision for that, a call. One is to help people to learn that turning to things that will not satisfy them is the opposite of what we should be doing. Instead, come and buy without money what is free. This is a vision of grace that we can offer. And the way it's offered is not by words, it's by actions. Think of a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, who said that we should preach the word of God always and use words when necessary. Living by example, of living our lives as though the material things that we have are nice, but they are not the meaning of life, all the material gifts that we have. Instead, living as though we truly rely on God. And that's not an easy thing to do. The call here is to learn to rely on God and to help others do the same. And to look outward. Just as the exiles were called to come back home, but not just to call, not just to come home and then build a cozy little community for themselves. Instead, what they were called to do was to go back and to rebuild and to open the doors. Friends, renewal does not come when you just shut the doors and keep everything to yourselves. Renewal comes when the doors are open wide and we welcome. So consider what that might be like. Think about what that might be like. What are the gifts that we have individually and together that we can share with a world that is crying and screaming for satisfaction and for fulfillment and meaning? If we thought about it, we could probably come up with quite a long list. Perhaps we'll have a chance to do that. Think about what your gifts are and how you might give them.